Right, we are recording. Thank you.
Thank you, Larry, for singing. Thank you for singing the song. Thank you for learning the song. I just really love that song. One of Ty Tribbett's songs that I do like. Sometimes he's like too much for me in worship, but this particular song is really, really beautiful. And I really like it because it says, I can't imagine what my life would be without you. And so I was reminded of some dreams that I had this week. They were really pretty scary dreams. In fact, I woke up in a cold sweat because I dreamed I was lost. I don't know where I was, but I was completely lost. And it was during the pandemic. And it was just a wild dream. So when the song says, I'd be lost without you, I'm definitely lost without him. And this song is a reminder that we are all lost without him, and that he'll never leave us, never forsake us. His presence is always there. So I'm just thankful for that song this morning. Our scripture today is from the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 4, verses 6 through 16. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 16. And the title of the sermon, last week's sermon was verses 1 through 5. And the title was Don't Be Deceived. This week, the title of the sermon is Stand in the Truth, No Matter What. Stand in the Truth, No Matter What. Please join me in a word of prayer. Great and matchless God of all creation, we are so thankful to be here today. Thankful that you have given us one more time to hear your word. And God, I pray, God, that you would settle here with us, that you would rest on us right now in the name of Jesus, that you would rest on us who might feel lost today. Rest on us who might have some fear today. Rest on us, God, who have so much on our plates today. Rest on us right here and give us your comfort and your peace today in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your word today, that we can stand on its truth. And that is enough to sustain us for all time. Lord God, I pray, God, that you would give me the right words to say. Lord, that you would settle in hearts today, that you would help each one of us to hear this truth today. God, that you and your word might be glorified. Lord, that you might be heavy in our lives, heavy in the world, heavy everywhere that we go, so that we can tell somebody about you. I thank you for this opportunity today. Lord, as we prepare to hear the words the Apostle Paul spoke to Timothy, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And let everyone say, amen. Amen. Let's read the scripture today. Larry, I'll wait for you to get that up.
Thank you, and there it is.
Okay. 1 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 16. If you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, and he's talking about pointing the things out, not just in the previous chapters, but in the previous five verses that we did last week. So if you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly for physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. That is why we labor and strive, because we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all people, and especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through prophecy, when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Michael, I'm sorry that we didn't do the announcements, but we'll do those at the end. So, as I said before, last week we talked about deception. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy as he had been appointed the leader of the Ephesian church. We said last week that the Ephesian church had given way to false teaching. The apostle was not only warning Timothy, but telling him to warn the church. He spoke about the church being deceived by deceiving spirits and demons from people in the church who had a seared conscience. We did not define conscience last week, which is an inner feeling or voice viewed as acting as a guide to the rightness or wrongness of one behavior, that the conscience, again, is a guide. Acting as a guide or just a presence that we have inside all of us that acts as a guide to the rightness or wrongness of one's behavior. Your conscience is what you live with 24/7. It leads you what to say or what not to say, and how to act or how not to act in any given situation. So if we are in Christ, we then also have the Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us. But if your conscience has been seared, as we talked about last week, seared, that is, with a hot iron, with deceiving spirits and demons, then the Holy Spirit is what we call quenched or grieved, because he cannot get through to a conscience that's so corrupt with no desire to correct its thinking. Since the Holy Spirit is a person, our actions actually can cause him to sorrow, to distress, and to have emotional pain, because the conscience no longer responds correctly. Because as I said before, the conscience has been burned with a hot iron. What does that mean? It means that the conscience can be insensitive to right, insensitive to truth. That is why so many of us look cross-eyed at some folks, because you can't understand why they don't get it no matter what you say. You hear that phrase, oh, mom, just let me do expletive, expletive me. Let me do me. Because their conscience is seared in one or more areas. And here you are, here we are, trying to argue with someone who has little moral culpability or responsibility for their thoughts and actions. Everybody with me?
Mm-hmm.
So now we're ready for verse 6. Verse 6 says, if you point out these things to the people, point out these things to the church, to the brothers and sisters, and I want to remind you, the church is not a building. The church is each one of us. That is why God's church can meet anywhere, anytime. That is why we can meet online, because the church is not a building. It is you and me. So if you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, you'll be a good minister of Christ, nourished on the truths of the faith and of the good teaching you have followed. So for as much as Timothy would be confronted with all of this, he would need to face it head on with the church, with the brothers and sisters. He had to stick with what he knew. He was taught by Paul. And then in verse 7, he says, don't have anything to do with godless myths and things that people say, because people say a lot of junk, y'all. He says, rather, train yourself to be godly. So he tells Timothy, get into a godly routine to build spiritual muscle so that you will not fall to deception. Leave it there, Larry, because he says in verse 8, that physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. Again, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. So I was watching a clip of Jamie Foxx on Ellen. You know, anytime you see Jamie Foxx, you're going to laugh at something he says or does, because he is such a clown. So he was telling a story that he was celebrating his mom's birthday on his friend's yacht. There was a clip that they had done of him on the yacht, or he had taken a video of himself, somebody took it, where he was doing chin-ups. So Ellen was commenting on his workout routine. So Jamie Foxx was telling her that, you know, he's like, only brothers work out from the waist up. We don't work out from the waist down. And so he was saying, that's why he got broad shoulders and some guns, because that's all brothers do. They just work on the top half. So he gets out of the chair when he's sitting there talking to Ellen. Obviously, it was pre-recorded. He gets out of the chair and he falls on the floor and he starts pulling his legs along because he wants to show everybody his legs are skinny. He's got skinny calves. And so he just pulled himself across the floor. He is so nuts. So he's telling everybody that's why he's African-American. He African on top and American on the bottom.
Oh, wow.
He's just silly. But to Paul's point, Jamie Foxx's example, you can only strengthen what you work on. You can only strengthen what you work on. Physical strengthening only benefits the body, but godly strengthening benefits the complete character. Godly strengthening benefits what you do in the dark, and what you do in the dark counts in the kingdom. So it's the truth of what you live when no one is looking that counts for eternity. You see, faking it won't make it in the kingdom. Will you bring up verse 10 for me? In verse 10, the Apostle Paul says, his hope is in the living God, who is the Savior of all people. Paul knew his hope was built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Where is your hope built today? Is it built on nothing less? Is it built on something more? Is it built on the world? Is it built on your family? Is it built on something more than Jesus Christ? Then you've got your hope misplaced. He was trying to impart some wisdom to Timothy. Leave it up for me. Then in verse 11, he says, command and teach these things. Don't let anybody look down on you, Timothy, because Timothy was very young. He was a young man. He said, don't let anyone look down on you because you're young, but set an example for believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Timothy, though young, Paul realized he might be easily swayed in his thinking. But Paul encouraged him, and hence the title of our sermon, Stand in the Truth. Stand in the truth. Stand in it no matter what. I am pretty much a purist, P-U-R-I-S-T, when it comes to theology and doctrine. And I don't really listen to people who lie halftime. And I'm talking about people on television, people who have personalities that we see all the time. I've read certain books by many of those folks. And sometimes people wonder why I am negative on their teaching and preaching. It's because I know what they said in their books. He told Timothy, basically, you don't have to be ugly, but conduct yourself so that no one can question who you are in conduct, love, faith, and purity. No matter how young you are, if you conduct yourself in a godly way, then no one can question who you are. So do you all know someone or some people you just need to leave alone? Or have you ever had to leave somebody alone? You knew early on in the budding friendship or relationship, they didn't think like you. And so you think you can make it work. But what happens is they pull you away, not the other way around, because their conscience is seared. You have to be careful who you call your friends. Unfortunately, sometimes our family's conscience is seared. And sometimes you do still have to put the distance between you and even a family member. That's what he was telling Timothy. Your youth does not mean you don't know truth. So in verses 13 and 14, if you would bring those up. He says, until I come. And he's talking, Timothy's talking about himself, until he comes to Ephesus again. Devote yourself to the public reading of scripture, to pursue, to preaching and teaching. Don't neglect your gift. And then in 15 and 16, be diligent. Give your whole self and encourage the congregation to do the same. So this isn't just a message for Timothy, but a message for him to impart to everyone. Now, not everybody, y'all, is a preacher and teacher, because Paul is not just talking to Timothy at that time, but he also has a message for today. Not everybody is a preacher and teacher, but he says, if you are called, be on fire for God. Study his word and do his will. Don't be Luke with your last name warm. Watch your life and protect it from corruption. Persevere in godly conduct and faith and love and purity, just like the apostle says, so that your hearers will grow in truth and those who hear them will grow also. Now, sometimes you might not always see the benefit of your behavior, of living truth. But trust me, living truth is better than living a lie from deception and from demons and deceiving spirits. I can't do anything. We can't do anything about people who choose to live less than a godly life. After all, people make choices. But I want to, and you ought to want to, and I'm sure Timothy imparted to the brothers and sisters at the time that you must live life in the kingdom in the fullest way possible, that your highest life ought to be your most godly life in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We ought to let nothing get in our way. You see, the world says we have many options and the sky is the limit. But I am here to tell you that the world's options are not God's options for us, nor are they God's options for me. Mm-hmm. Houston, Texas, mega church pastor, Kirby John Caldwell, and I mean mega church, African-American pastor. He pled guilty to fraud using phony bonds. This is March 22nd, 2020. After publicly denying the allegations, he publicly denied them for a long time. The Reverend Kirby John H. Caldwell, a Houston pastor who had the ear of presidents, y'all, admitted in a Louisiana federal courtroom on Wednesday to aiding a multi-million dollar investment scheme, duping members of his flock into buying phony bonds. And a lot of them, of course, you know, they were elderly people who had risked their entire life savings doing this. Caldwell, who served as a spiritual advisor to Presidents George W. Bush and Barack Obama, pleaded guilty to a massive wire fraud scheme that helped pay off his personal debt and maintain his lifestyle, according to court documents. The judge set his sentencing for July 22nd. You might say that you've come too far to turn around and your conscience is too seared. But you've got to remember that Romans 7, if you could bring that up, Romans 7 is alive and well. That you can turn around with God's help. Listen to these words of the Apostle Paul in beginning in verse 21. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work in me. You see, we all have those times when the law of sin is at work in us. I'm sure Pastor Caldwell had times when he knew full well the law of sin was at work in him, as you might know on occasions, as I might know on occasions. And sometimes we have to say, what a wretched man, or what a wretched woman I am. Who's gonna rescue me from this body of death? But thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm gonna say it again. Thanks be to God, who delivers us from this body of death. Thanks be to our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord, because he is the only one who can deliver us from this body of sin and death. He's the only one who can unsear a conscience. He's the only one who can make us right. He's the only one who can help us to live righteous. And we can look to a place, there are many others, but we can look to a place like Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. That's Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, where it says this: now to him who is able to do immeasurably more, not a little more, not something that we can always see, but immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. That is, to him be glory in each one of us, in each brother and each sister, for all generations, forever and ever, and amen. So be it. This is the God that we serve. I just pray for his church. What so many people affected by his sin and his seared conscience in the area, I'm sure, the area like we talked about last week, you can be seared in the area of money and not understand what God wants you to do with it or not do with it. Not that, and I'm sure that's just not the only area that his conscience was seared in so much more. How could you do that to your people? How could you know that you were having them invest in bonds that were worth nothing and that their whole life savings was going toward your enjoyment, your financial well-being, if you will? Do you know the truth does stand, y'all? No matter what, God will have his way, one way or another. And so you might as well ask him in all of his power to move some things out of your mind, to move some things out of your life, to give it over to him, because you have to want to. You've got to want to.
Amen.
So, stand in the truth, no matter who you are, because I'm certainly going to preach and teach the word of truth when God gives me the opportunity. And I want to live my highest life, as you ought to want to live your highest life. God can make a way and will make a way out of no way. He will do what you think is impossible, because he does more than you can imagine or think. There's nothing that's off limits for our God. There's no situation he cannot undo. There's nothing in the world that God cannot fix. No family God cannot turn right side up. Nothing he can't do. And so I pray today that you would give it all over to him and stand in the truth no matter what. That's our lesson for today. So it is our altar call. I'm going to have Deacon Pippins pray for us. And so I would like for you to pray. Pray for us, of course, in this difficult time, in this pandemic. But you know what? Pray with confidence, knowing that God, there's nothing that he cannot do. I don't care what's going on in the world. God is still able. Amen.
Amen. Let's all look to the Lord.
Pray for a family who is grieving, and I cannot remember. I think it's the Jordan family. He's someone who Sam knows from a church, the Agape, a church that he went to. If you could pray for the Jordan family, that would be great. Okay. You can continue to lift up your prayers for me and for the entire congregation, that we be strengthened, that we be able to live our best life, a godly life, a higher life, even than we live today. Okay. If you don't know the Lord, we would
She froze. Marilyn, you froze.
Three Kings number, also my number, are on the agenda. When we post it, you can see it. See those numbers, and you can call, or you can put something in the chat, and we will lead you in that prayer of salvation. If you just need prayer, a specific prayer, if you want to type that quickly in the chat, you can do so. And we will pray for you.
David raised his hand.
I just said
David raised his hand, so let me unmute him.
Okay.
Go ahead, Dave.
I didn't mean to. I was trying to get into the chat to...
To put something there?
Yeah. Well, that's all right. It was for... Is her last name Jordan?
Yeah, her name is Nadine.
Nadine Jordan. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the family that she's the person who passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anyone else? Anything else?
I do want to mention that
here.
Andrew returned back to Orchard Park from the hospital. He was released this week.
That's good.
So thank you for your prayers, and please continue.
That's great. I did pray for him. And then pray for Roz, put something here. Her friend's husband who had surgery from cancer from 9/11. His name is Glenn Doyle. Christina has a continuous prayer for her father and his health. I don't see anything else.
Nope.
A lot of amens and speak the truth. Alberta, someone says, that was private. Yes, I've had to let some people go out of my life. I think we all have. Okay, Mike, go ahead.
All right. Okay. Let's all bow our heads. With humble hearts, let's seek our amazing Father, our gracious Lord. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your message today, Lord God.
Yes.
Asking us, telling us, helping us, Lord God, to realize that we can step up, we can be greater than what we were in the past, Lord God. The past is just what it is, Lord God. It is the past. it is behind us. And you have given us a path and a future that no one can take from us, Lord God. A victory that is always ours, Lord God. As long as we seek you out, walk in the path that you've given us, Lord God. Live the way you've called us to live, Lord God. Nothing can stand before us, Lord God. Nothing can deter us, Lord God. And Lord God, we grasp that right now, Lord God. Yes. We know there are parts in our lives and our hearts, Lord God, that have not been given to you, Lord. Given to you right now, Lord God. We turn them over to you, Lord God. We release them to you.
In Jesus' name.
On the path that you've given us, Lord God. We know that we war constantly, Lord God, with our own thoughts, things of the world, Lord God. That war has already been defeated, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who spilt his blood for us, Lord God,
yes,
and rose for us, Lord God, that we may be able to stand here today and call upon your name, call upon you, Lord God, and your amazing power. Call upon the Holy Spirit, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, hallelujah, Lord God. And Lord God, we pray for those who are grieving, the Jordan family, the Jenkins family, Lord God, grieving the loss of their family, Lord God, family member, Lord God. We pray that, you, Lord God, you would reach them right now, Lord God, with power, with hope, Lord God.
Yes.
That you would touch their hearts, Lord God, even in mourning, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
You are hope, Lord God. You are love, yes, Lord God. We are conquerors, Lord God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Not even death can overcome us, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
You have said so, Lord God. It is your will, Lord God. Father, we pray for Christina's father, Lord God, and his health, Lord God. Not even health, illness can overcome us, Lord God. You have given us something that no one can take from us, Lord God. We pray for his strength, Lord God. We pray for his mind, his body. We pray for Christina, Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Father, we pray for Ross, friend's husband, Lord God, who had surgery.
Yes, Lord.
Glenn Doyle, Lord God, we lift him up to you right now, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that you would strengthen him, Lord God. As he recovers from surgery, Lord God, bring health to his body and to his mind.
Yes, Lord.
Most of all, Lord God, be in his presence. Let him feel you there, Lord God. Let when others see him, Lord God, they can say, ah, what is it about you, Glenn? And he can speak of your love. Even though he's recovering, Lord God, he is your child, Lord God. He is your instrument. He is your light unto the world, Lord God. Father, we are so thankful for your word today, Lord God. We pray for those who are in this meeting, Lord God, who have spoken out with their hearts to you, Lord God, who have reached out to you right now, Lord God, asking you to move in their life in a special way, Lord God. Father, we pray for those who could not be here, Lord God, those who are family and friends and those we know who are not here, Lord God. We ask that you reach out to them right now, Lord God, with all your power and all your might and all your love and grace and mercy, Lord God. Only you, Lord God, can bring hope in this time, Lord God. Only you, Lord God, can bring deliverance, Lord God.
Yes, Lord.
Many are suffering, Lord God. Many are passing, Lord God. But Lord God, let it not go in vain. Let them know who you are, Lord God. Let them know salvation. Let them accept Jesus Christ. Let those who are here, Lord God, accept your love. Accept your grace and mercy, Lord God.
Yes.
Let our knees be bended. Let our hearts be humble, Lord God. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray.
In Jesus' name.
Let's all say amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Down from glory,
So we're going to go right into our communion. So if you have your juice ready and a cracker, thank you. First thing we're going to do is we're going to read the scripture from the book of Matthew, the 26th chapter. Verses 26 through 29. It says this: while they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Let us pray. And as I pray, if there's anything in your heart that you need to confess, feel free to do that right now. And remember, confession, repentance are not just words, but they're a turnaround. They're doing an about face in your heart. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come again, Lord God, sharing in communion. Even though we are not physically present with one another, we know that you are physically present with each one of us. So Lord God, I pray that you would bless us. Let us confess our sin to you right now. and pray, God, that you would cleanse our hearts, that you would make us right, and continue to help us to live righteously. Bless our symbols of bread and wine. And as we partake in them, we pray, God, that they would transcend. And God, that you would bless us as we participate in remembering your sacrifice for us on the cross. And that one day, you will come again for your people. We thank you. Bless you. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen. And now if you would take your cracker, let us all eat together. Take your wine or your juice and let us all drink together.
Way back on Calvary, the blood.
Bless the name of the Lord. Cross, and I know it was the blood for me. Amen. Amen. Now that was